Well, this morning, we're beginning a brand new sermon series entitled Seven Last Words, and this series will take us all the way through to Good Friday. And really, we're not just focusing on seven last words, we're focusing on the seven last phrases that Jesus spoke as he was on the cross. And so I'm reading from the Gospel of Luke this morning, chapter 23, verses 26 and 33 through 34a. As they led him away, and that's Jesus, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." The last words of anybody before they die frequently tells us a little bit about that person. For example, the last words reported, spoken by P.T. Barnum were, "How were the circus receipts today at Madison Square Gardens?" Can you guess what he focused on? Or President John F. Kennedy, who said, "My God, I've been hit." Or Pancho Villa, "Don't let it end like this. Tell them I said something." I guess they just get to make it up, right? Thomas Dillon, who said, "I have just had 18 whiskeys in a row. I do believe this is a record." And then he died. Or William Palmer, a person who had murdered people by poisoning them, was about to be hung. They put a rope around his neck, and when he was told to step on the trap door, he said, "Are you sure this is safe?" Or the famous movie maker, Samuel Goldwyn, lying on his deathbed, said just before he died, "I never thought I would live to see this day." A crucifixion death generally did not happen because of blood loss. The Romans were careful not to pierce any major arteries or veins in the body. Their aim was to keep you alive as long as possible, to make you suffer, to humiliate you, to torture you in such a way that other people would look at you and say, "Wow, whatever that person did, I don't want to do, so that I might die a horrible death like that." Victims would live many times for hours, and a few would even last for days. You usually died from asphyxiation. You just couldn't breathe. You could only take shallow breaths. Sometimes it would cause hyperventilation. Fluid would build up around the lungs and around the heart. And you had to pull yourself up in order to breathe. You also had to pull yourself up in order to speak. That's why most people didn't speak very much when they were being crucified. We believe that Jesus spoke about seven times from the cross. And certainly if he was speaking under such pain, he had to really want his words to be heard. During Lent, we're going to look at these various phrases that Jesus spoke from the cross and try to understand why Jesus spoke them and what impact they have for us today. So what did Jesus want us to hear? What do Jesus' words tell us about him and even tell us about ourselves? The first word from the cross that we're going to deal with is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This saying, of course, as you may have noticed, is a prayer. And it was not surprising that the first thing that Jesus did was to pray on the cross. Pastor Adam Hamilton says, there are four things we can learn from this prayer said from the cross. The first thing we can learn is Jesus said, forgive them. Who is the them? Well, certainly it was the Roman soldiers who were actually crucifying him. It was the merchants, it was the money changers, it was the priests and the Pharisees. It was Pontius Pilate who was now back in his palace and who had washed his hands from all that was being done. And it was for us. For all those from that time forward who would come after, who were in need of forgiveness. Father, forgive Steve and Kim and Ralph and Paul and Susan and Nancy. The forgiveness is for each one of us. It's for you. And we need forgiveness. We're not perfect. Years ago, when I was an associate pastor at Veldrose United Methodist Church, I was living in the church parsonage a couple blocks away from the church when I noticed that, well, some little dog was using our yard as its bathroom. And I saw that dog and recognized that dog as belonging to a neighbor to the south of us. Matter of fact, my mom would say that this dog was creating dog dirt, as she called it, in our yard. I was not pleased having to pick up after somebody else's dog. So one day when the woman came out of the house, I said to her, you know, I don't appreciate it when your dog comes into my yard and leaves dog dirt and uses our yard as a bathroom. And she said, well, that's not my dog. My dog's never been in your yard. And I said, well, I have seen your dog in my yard, leaving dog dirt. She got really angry, furious, and she said, this is not my dog, and she stomped off. A couple days later, I related the experience to my wife of what had happened with our neighbor, and she said, I've seen that dog. And that dog is not our neighbor's dog. Uh-oh. And so I knew that I needed forgiveness. So the next time I saw my neighbor, I apologized for the words that I had said. And I asked for forgiveness. Forgiveness is necessary to repair relationships. Jesus spoke of forgiveness, and he knew that we need to be forgiven. If we are going to live in right relationship with our neighbors and our family and people in the world, we have to learn to forgive. But we have a tendency to stray from God's path. We are broken and we need to be fixed. And God is our Savior. God offers us grace. But first we have to realize we have a problem, that we have strayed off that path. The second thing that we can learn, and did you notice that Jesus said to the people, they don't know what they're doing. That's the second thing we can learn, is sometimes we don't know what we're doing. Sometimes we think we know what we're doing when we really don't. For example, I think of a woman who posts regularly on Facebook, angry at other people for not forgiving other people, angry that they hold grudges, and they're mad at others, and this woman is angry because they won't let it go and they won't forgive. I know this woman who's posting on Facebook. Guess what? She's angry at a lot of people herself. And she won't forgive. I've seen her be approached by somebody who asks for forgiveness, who apologizes, and she refuses to forgive. And later when they walk by her, she gives them the silent treatment. She knows not what she does. I don't think she wants to know what she's doing. I don't think she really wants to face the truth of it. Jesus, interestingly enough, prays for people while they are still tormenting him. They were spitting on him, they were killing him, and Jesus prays for them. Do you think God answered his prayer? I think so. You ever wonder where the term scapegoat comes from? It comes from the Old Testament. The Jews were told to take a goat, and they were to symbolically lay their hands on that goat, and they were to symbolically place all their sins on that goat. And then once they had all done that, then they were told to take that goat and then have it go out into the wilderness as a symbolism that their sins had left them. Now, do you really think that goat forgave their sins? It was God who forgave their sins. But having a scapegoat was God's dramatic way of saying, you are forgiven. You see, God uses very dramatic acts to try to tell us we're forgiven. It may be a scapegoat, or it may be somebody dying on a cross. Because sometimes we just don't get it. The third thing we can learn from Jesus' words from the cross is we have to claim that forgiveness. We have to ask for that forgiveness. Some people are so reluctant to believe that they are forgiven. Oh, God can forgive everybody else, but not me. I've done something that's so horrible, God could not forgive me. And yet God was able to forgive those people who crucified his son on the cross. Have you done anything worse than that? If God can forgive that, then God can forgive anything that we might have done. I think of a very small church or college that was church-related, a Christian college, small one. And every year they would have this one week that they called Christian Emphasis Week. And they would invite in a Christian speaker to preach and teach for a week. Well, this one year they invited in this very charismatic, kind of very dynamic and sometimes controversial speaker, and they got a little bit more than they bargained for. The first night he was to preach, everybody knew that this was going to be a religious thing, a Christian thing. And so all the Animal House type college students stayed away, and all the Christians came to the chapel. Well, he began to preach, and the first thing he did was to open his Bible and read the scripture, and then he closed the Bible, and he took the Bible, and he threw the Bible out an open window. Now, all those people there were sort of wondering if their eyes were tricking them. Did that pastor just throw the Bible out the window? And then the preacher began to preach a very controversial sermon about how they were now worshiping the Bible rather than worshiping the God whose message was conveyed out of the Bible. And it was a very challenging sermon. And by the time it was over, everybody in that place was angry at the preacher. So the next night, they didn't come back. But word traveled in that college, and the Animal House type college kids heard of what had happened, and they flocked, the tax collector types, the sinner types, they flocked to the chapel that second night because they were going to hear this preacher that threw a Bible out the window. And that night, the preacher chose to speak about forgiveness and how they could be forgiven. And he came to the end of his message and he allowed a time for dialogue, give and take, questions. And one college student stood up and said, "How do I know that I am really forgiven?" And the preacher looked at him and said, "In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven." The college kid then spoke up again, "How can you really know for a fact that I am forgiven?" And the preacher said, "In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven." And the college kid said again, I don't think you really catch my question. I mean, how can I know for sure that I am forgiven?" And the preacher said, "In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven." And then a feeling like electricity went through that crowd that night, and it just this certainty beyond words came upon that college kid and so many others that they truly had been forgiven. Do you believe you can be forgiven? I would guess that some of us that have a hard time forgiving others, who hold on to resentments, who hold on to bitterness and anger, have a tough time believing that God can forgive because we have a tough time forgiving. But I would also guess that those among us who easily are able to forgive others really believe easily that God can forgive. God can forgive each and every one of us. And fourth thing we can learn is that Jesus models that forgiveness. He models it so we might follow in his steps, that we need to learn how to forgive others. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 14, Jesus is recorded as saying, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your trespasses will also be forgiven." And there are many Christians in the New Testament who followed in Jesus' footsteps. I think of Stephen. Stephen, who was being stoned to death because of his faith. While he was being killed, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." He prayed for his attackers just as Jesus did. We have to learn to pray forgiveness for others. And I have to tell you, there is a joy in being merciful to other people. We have to be willing to forgive. I know some people say, "Well, you don't know my circumstances. You don't understand all the hurt I've gone through." Have you gone through more hurt than Jesus on the cross, who could forgive? I need some volunteers this morning. Choir, you're exempt. Orchestra, you're exempt. See, they want to volunteer. You should know it's a good thing. I need 8 volunteers this morning. 1, come on up. I need 4 on this side and 4 on this side. There's a line right here. 2 over here. That's 3. That's 4. If you don't volunteer, we'll be here till 1 o'clock. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Need 1 more. 1 more. 1 more. 8. Thank you. All right, this morning, we are going to play tug of war. So you're on this side. And you know how the rules for tug of war work, right? You have to. It is men against women, isn't it? All righty. I don't know how that worked out. It just happened to work out. How the rules work is, if you're going to win, you have to drag this whole team across the line. If you're going to win, you have to drag this whole team across the line. All of them have to come across the line in order to win. And by the way, we have a prize this morning for the winners. We have some... Where'd they go? Who's got them? Marianne, you got them? They're all blaming you. Wow. The choir is stealing the prize. I'm not exaggerating.
They know what's good.
That... I don't know if I can forgive you, Marianne. We have a prize of some Krispy Kreme donuts. They were warm. They were hot at about 7:30 this morning. So, all right. But I'm going to throw a little twist into this. Because of instead of using a rope in this tug of war, we're going to use thread. So if you'll grab that, okay, just hold on to there. Okay, all the way along to here. Okay, there we go. So we're going to play tug-of-war with thread this morning. And I will tell you there is a rule that if the thread breaks, you ball lose. And I get to keep the donuts. That's the way it works. So you don't want to break the thread. If you break the thread, you don't get anything. Okay. However, if you can bring the other team all the way over, if you can pull them over to your side, then you win, okay? Now, I'm going to give you a minute to strategize about how you're going to win, okay? Go ahead. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Okay. On your mark, get set, go.
You guys didn't follow through.
All right, go sit down. You lose. You lose. Go sit down. Have a seat. They're my donuts. Oh, too bad. I'm sorry y'all missed out. They're good. Wow. I'm going to be on a sugar high because there are 11 more. So... No. No. You didn't volunteer. All right, so they decided they were going to pull in each direction, and guess what? They lost. That's how it is with relationships, isn't it? We get in this adversarial, I'm going to win, you're going to lose, and both individuals decide to do that, and it just ends up being a tug of war. I'm going to win. No, I'm going to win. You know what? Things could have been different this morning. Things could have been different this morning. You could have had all the donuts. There were only 8 of you. You had 12 donuts. One group could have simply said, we'll go to your side. Okay, if I get this straight then,
the deal was
the women were saying, you just come over, and the guys agreed to do it, And they were going to come over, but they just couldn't follow directions. The men just couldn't follow directions. I can't imagine that. Okay. Then they had the right approach. I will give them that. And that's what we were looking for, because one of the groups needs to give up and say, I don't need to win. I am willing to give grace. I am willing to no longer be your adversary. I am willing to forgive. At least one of the groups needs to do that. And then guess what? There can be reconciliation. So I'll tell you what. You had the right idea. The guys just don't know how to do it, though. But you had the right idea. So I'm going to give this to the women. Where's one of the women from the group? Right here. And after the service, you get to share it with them or not. I don't know. They didn't follow directions. But if you have grace, you understand what I'm getting at. That's what's required. Somebody lets go of winning. Somebody begins the process of forgiving. And Jesus chose to do so on the cross. Can we choose to forgive those who hurt us? Can we let go of the rope? Can we let go of the thread? Can we let go of the anger and the bitterness and the hatred and forgive like Jesus? Let us pray. Lord, there are some of us today who really wrestle with this forgiveness thing. We feel righteous in our hurts, and we just hang on to it, and yet it is eating us up. Help us to learn how to forgive as you did on the cross. And help us to forgive even when they don't know they're hurting us. Lord, may we feel your grace, your mercy, and may we reflect it to others this day and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.